All right, guys, welcome to episode 96 of Our Modern Heritage, the Home and Family Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Jody Chafee, and this is the podcast where we talk about how to intentionally design your family culture around your mission, vision, and values. And I think I have a different tagline every time I come on an episode of this, but that's the gist of it. It's family culture and being intentional because every family has a culture, whether by default or by design. And on the show today, I have Molly Christensen. Molly has homeschooled her seven amazing children, ages 8 to 25, for the past 19 years. She has an engineering degree from BYU, but that's Brigham Young University, but since found great passion in mothering, teaching, and mentoring. She is also an entrepreneur and owns her own business called Building Heroes Academy, which provides training, mentoring, and curriculum to help parents raise heroes. She is passionate about encouraging and mentoring others in their life journey. And I'm so excited to talk to you, Molly, about habits and systems and things we can incorporate in our family culture to raise heroes. So welcome, Molly.
Thank you. I am super excited to be here and to chat with you because this is a topic I love.
I love it. And I love talking to you. It's so fun.
Yeah, for
So,
sure.
I'm super excited to learn about, so you came up with this company, Building Heroes. So what does that mean to build a hero?
I know, right? I mean, when we think of a hero, we often think about like Superman or Batman, and they have all these superpowers and they save the world. And that's not exactly what I'm talking about here, although those are fun. It's more of an everyday hero, right? And the reason why I named my company that is because I came across this pattern called the hero's journey. And I think some people have totally heard about it and know about it a lot, but most people had never heard of it. And it wasn't until when I first heard of it, I thought it was pretty cool. But it wasn't until I started looking into it a little more deeply to realize that this was a powerful thing that could change our lives, because it's the pattern for our lives. So the hero journey in a nutshell is really just, the path that a hero takes, and it's found in every single book, every single movie. And you start off with somebody ordinary, just, doesn't necessarily think they're that great and they don't really know what they're doing in their lives. And they get this call to action. And that call to action is maybe something a little bigger than they are, and they're not sure they can do it. And so they refuse. They don't want to do it. Think about the Hobbit. Bilbo Baggins, he just wants to sit on his couch and eat soup. That's much more comfortable, but he gets,
Elevensies
yeah, exactly.
and bed and breakfasts.
Right. And I know not everybody's familiar with that story, but you can take any story and break it down like this. He gets this call to action to go help the dwarves reclaim their treasure. They need him. And it's not until he can think of his adventurous side on his mother's side that maybe he could do this and maybe it would be a good thing. And so he commits to the action and he goes and he's all in. And while he's taking this action, he's on this journey, which is full of tests and traps and trials and temptations. But there's also people around to stop him and people to help him. And there's mentors and allies. And then finally, at the end, he comes through and he succeeds. And not only does he succeed in the mission, but he succeeds in that he's been transformed himself as well. And comes back home a different person, a better person. And so when I learned about that hero journey, I started recognizing that this is really a pattern for our lives. And the beauty of having a pattern for our lives is that it makes it predictable. So when we have hard things in our life, it means, if we've acted on a call to action and we're doing these things to become better, to help others, and we hit a wall, it doesn't mean we're wrong or we're bad. It's an obstacle that's in the way to help us learn to grow and become better. And because we know the pattern, we know that there is a way around the obstacle, even though we can't see it at first. And then once we get around the obstacle, we might get more, but eventually we know we're going to have success if we're persistent, we keep going. So,
So when you're raising, when you're talking about raising a hero, you're helping them to recognize that pattern, basically. Okay. So then when they become, they hit those obstacles, you're going, hey, guess what? This is just a call to rise to the occasion to meet that obstacle. Right.
Because you're going to learn something. You're not failing. You're going to learn something. And also the other part of this is too, is that each one of my kids, they have their own hero journeys. It's not the same as mine. So I don't have to make them learn everything that I think that they need to know. I mean, obviously there's certain key things that are great, which is where habits and stuff come in, but they have a different journey. And so for me, as part of my role as a parent is that, I'm going to believe in them. I'm going to believe that they are a hero on this hero's journey and they can get through. And that's really a big part of what a hero needs on a hero journey is somebody else to believe in them, because they don't always, they sometimes can't see the way. So as the mentor in this hero journey, like Gandalf is to Bilbo, he's always there telling him, you can do this. You know, there are dark times, but now I can't remember the quote, but you know, he's got some good ones, you know, he's there encouraging him. You know, he's encouraging him. He can see the way when maybe the hero on the hero journey can't see it. Yeah. And so to me, it changed my whole perspective in parenting when I could see it like that. You know, I know my kids are amazing. Sometimes they don't act that way. Sometimes I don't act that way. but as long as I can hold that belief in them that they are great inside and that they will progress and become better, it just changes. It was like mind blowing to me when I started picturing everything this way.
Yeah, I love that, because like that's one of the things that I think is so important as parents, is to view ourselves as mentors, not so much as somebody who's supposed to be critical or you know, supposed to like be pushing them in a certain direction. We're just here to like help them to discover what that call is, right? I mean, I think that if we start pushing them or judging them or being critical, that might have the opposite effect, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of my favorite quotes is, education is not the filling of a bucket, but the lighting of a fire. I'm sure you've heard that one before, but it's like the filling of the bucket. Sometimes as parents, we think, oh, we have to fix this. We have to make sure they have this. We have to make sure they know this. And they're human beings. They're not like cups, you know, that we can, or buckets that we can just fill. Yeah. Right. It's our job. Yeah.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, like, we can't know like what it is that they, well, that just sounds almost like you're adding to their burden. Right?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah,
like, that's a great, take that's this a... bucket and let me keep filling it for you. And they're going, I'm like getting weighed down more and more by mom and dad's expectation, or the school's expectation, or society's expectation. And it's like, then they just feel like this is a burden, these expectations and this pressure and fear of failure, to put this thing down and say, no, that's not for me.
Yeah, absolutely. No, totally. Because the other way of looking at this is, if we're lighting their fire, they're going to be empowered. It's like mom and dad aren't always going to be there telling you what to do. Thank goodness.
Right?
But I mean, if that's kind of the approach that we take, is where we control everything for them, it creates a lot of power struggles, because sometimes they just don't want to, and sometimes that's not their path, you know? And it's hard. As parents, we want our kids to grow up being functional. Well, more than functional, but than that, you know, right. We want them
self-reliant,
we want
them to be, right?
Yeah, we want them to be and happy and you know, all those things. But if we're trying to make them meet all of our expectations of what we think is best for them, and not ever empower them to figure that out, it's a hard transition.
Yeah. And they almost never, like, they're going to keep coming back. I don't have mom's voice in my head anymore. I need to keep going back to get her to tell me what to do. Or, like, I like the analogy of the fire, because it's like, here, take this torch, let's light it, and then it will guide you where you need to go. Not, you know, I'm not going to tell you where to go.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. So when I learned that, I was just like, wow, pressure off. You know, all I have to do is mentor my kids and remember their greatness and guide them and lead them. Wow. So, I mean,
that's freeing.
It's not always easy.
Right, right. It's not easy. But how empowering for you as a parent that it's like, okay, I've just got to do, you know, be their cheerleader in a way, and then like maybe supply them with some direction, right? If they say, I'm really interested in this thing, then okay, you got to do X, Y, and Z to get to that thing. If you want it, then you go for it. You know, I always think about this with the way that I parent, I parent like this too. And it's just like, so many people are like, how do you do all the things? How do you do homeschool? How do you do, you know, have your life? And how do you, well, it's like, because I don't hover over my children and tell them every little thing that they have to do all day, you know? So,
right. I'm like, so much easier. People would be surprised at how little I do in certain areas, you know, and because I can have this mindset of empowering them.
Wow.
Now that doesn't mean that I'm just letting them run around in the streets, you know?
No, in fact, this is a really good segue, I think, into the reason why we have habits and routines. Right. Mm-hmm. So what do your habits and routines look like for your family?
So, well, before I answer that, I'm going to back up because it's kind of funny that I talk about habits and routines because they are so hard for me. So hard. I was a hot mess, you know, we'll just admit it.
Aren't we all? It's okay.
Yeah, probably. I think probably one reason too, I feel like it was so hard for me is because it seems like it was so easy for my husband. It's just different people have different ways of creating habits and routines. And for some people, it is a lot easier than others. And that's good to notice in your kids too.
Yep.
You know, for some kids, it really is difficult to set up habits and routines. So the thing with habits and routines, we all have habits and routines, whether we know it or not, you know, I mean, we've either been intentional about it or not. Now, for us, our habits and routines do tend to be a little more flowy. We're not super structured where we say, okay, we have to start school at 9 a.m. or whatever. we do have certain things we do, but they kind of flow depending on the day too, you know? Yep. So in the morning, what it looks like, we're going to get up and we're going to do our scripture study together as a family, hopefully most of the time anyway. Sometimes it gets thrown off, you know?
Yep.
But then we just keep back at it. And then we'll get breakfast and the kids will all do their work, their family chores to get the house in order, which is funny because it can get out of order so fast.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you always got
to
keep doing it.
That's why it has to be every day.
And often more than once.
Yep, we have two times in our daily routine where it's after breakfast, we do a quick, you know, switch the laundry and empty the dishwasher type of thing. And then in the afternoon before dinner, we do what I call restore balance.
So that's good. I like that.
Back into balance.
Put the universe back into balance.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. And the good thing is if the kids do get older, it doesn't get as out of balance. But
nice.
But still.
I look forward to that.
Yeah.
Cool. So what's after your morning?
I mean, after that, then we will sit down to do some school. We only do school for about an hour a day together as a family. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why I started my company is because I wanted to show other people how to do that too and cover all the bases. Because you can learn everything together as a family because everybody's going to learn at whatever level they are on. And that's really how it works in the schools too. As long as you're not so worried about making sure everybody is at a certain level.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, even in a school, the kids are going to learn at whatever level they are on.
Yeah.
Because that's just
how
human work.
They might not be in the right grade level for that
right.
level.
Right. And when it's interesting and exciting, then they're going to learn a lot faster. And when we're making them, when we have the power struggle. So we learn together. And then after that, we will, the kids will work on their individual skills because there's some things you just have to practice, you know, like math facts, or typing or handwriting or, and most of that, if they can do it on their own for the most part, and they're, I call this ready and willing. They practice what they're ready and willing for.
Nice.
Now reading, teaching reading, some kids will just learn that on their own. I don't know if most will. So I will give them reading lessons. That's one of the ones that I'll do with them for their individual skills.
Okay.
When they're ready and willing.
Uh-huh. Nice.
I have had some who are not weren't ready and willing for a long time, but then when they were ready and willing, it went really fast. So I don't have to spend 6-8 years pounding in all the grammar or whatever, because when they're ready and willing, they learn it really fast.
Yep.
So taking the power struggles out.
Yep. Yep. And I like that too, because it's like, you know, this doesn't come up a lot necessarily in my podcast, because it's not necessarily a homeschool podcast, but
yeah.
But at the same time, like when it comes up, it's like, I have to put a plug in to say, you know, it's important for kids to learn at their own pace, and that, you know, this grade level construct and age appropriate, blah, 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 is like, who designed that? Nobody really knows. I mean, people, we kind of know if we look back in history, but at the same time, like, does it really still apply? Is it really still as effective as they say in schools, you know, that it's like, if your child is like getting all this pressure to be at a certain level in school, and then they just feel they're told that they're stupid or not good enough, then that's going to delay them even more. And so it's just like, I love this idea of ready and willing, because I think that it's really important that you do take the power struggle out of education and light the fire, fuel that fire, rather than, like you said, try to fill this bucket of burden that then becomes, I don't want to carry this around. This is your bucket. Like, you know, so they want to have their freedom to learn those things. And when they have that fire, like you said, it goes so much faster. And I think that that's so important.
Absolutely. And we can tie that back to the hero journey too, because, you know, as parents, we can be tempted, hey, get going, go faster on your hero journey, but it doesn't work like that. You have to just let them go at their pace, and they may be stuck at an obstacle for much longer when you can see the way around it, but they're not going to learn anything if you tell them.
They have to get their own. Yeah. That's part of this, like the hero's journey, those obstacles, they need to get like their own epiphany of how to overcome that thing. Because if they don't, then they hadn't learned anything. They're just going to hit that obstacle again later on.
Yep.
So it's just, they have to get that then on their own. So
yeah. And I've heard the obstacle is the way, which sounds all wrong. You know, it's like, what? No, it's stopping me. But like for me, if I had enough time, because I always feel like, oh, my obstacle is I don't have enough time. I have so many kids. I got so much stuff to do. But if I had enough time, I would have never learned how to manage my time as well as I do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yep.
Because I sure that didn't learn it.
That obstacle became your skill. It became your strength.
The way. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's the other thing as parents. We don't want to just always dive in and save them. But then again, when they keep hitting the same obstacle, we can be mentors and say, hey, seems like that's kind of hard to keep hitting that. You know, what do you think we could do about this? Because sometimes people don't even recognize that's what they're doing. They don't even recognize the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as adults, we need, I wish I had more mentors in my world,
right? To be able to overcome those things. I know. And sometimes it's really good to talk to other people too, because then you're like, wait a second, I have been struggling with this for like a year and I haven't even noticed what, but once you recognize it, you can do something about it. That's empowering. Yeah. So
I love this.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So what's after their individual ready and willing time?
So just depending on how long we've dawdled, it might be lunchtime. It might be 3 o'clock. I don't know, but I make sure that my kids have a lot of time in the in the afternoon, so that they do have free time and they're not overscheduled, because I've been very intentional about that, because I find that we're just always running around. We still run around a lot, but it does not.
You have a lot of family here. So a lot of different directions.
Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. I know. It's so great when my 16-year-old could drive this year.
Nice. I just look forward to when my daughter turns 12 so we can have a babysitter.
Oh, I know. It's awesome. It is awesome, nice. I have to say. But so I do intentionally try to keep the early afternoons pretty free, so that they do have time to get bored. Which sounds funny, you know, but sometimes we are just so cluttered and so full of everything. We don't ever learn how to think or make decisions of how we use our time ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, my kids, they'll say, oh, I'm bored. I'm good. Now, I also did mention earlier, it doesn't mean that I have no boundaries, right? I don't just let them do whatever they want to do. We definitely have rules. We definitely have boundaries of what they can and can't do. They have consequences and, you know, but they're free within the structure. It's like putting up a fence.
Right. I think that this is so, it's so, so important. I think when they hit that wall of being bored, again, the obstacle is the way. Uh-huh. Like when they get that way, then it's like, okay, what are you going to do about it? And like, this is something, do you mind if I go on a little tangent, Molly, about this?
I love tangents.
Just for a second.
I love tangents. I think they're great because it fires connections in our brains, you know?
Yeah. So I've been learning when you have so much pressure to do a certain thing, then your intuition and your creative juices shut down. You have like nowhere. You're just like so much stress that you're in survival mode. You can't get creative. You can't like, even though that's like the time when you're going, I need to figure out how to get out of this, this stress and this pressure. But when you get into a space where you're out of that and you're not in survival mode, you actually get to this space where you're in like in creative mode. And I think when kids have the time and space where they're going, they're drumming their fingers going, what can I do? That's when they actually have that space to go, I'm not in survival mode. My needs are met and I can create something. Like I got this epiphany after watching, I'm not trying to promote this person. It's just something that I watched. I watched this thing of Billie Eilish. She's a singer. And she was on the Late Late Show with James Corden, and they did the karaoke carpool thing, and they went to her house, and she was explaining how they did this whole process where she and her brother were allowed to stay up and write songs, write music, and they could stay up for as long as they wanted, as long as they were making music, and they were allowed to just do this, and like they had freedom, they had zero pressure. And they were able to, I mean, she is like top, I don't even know like how popular she is. It's insane how popular she is. And I don't necessarily, like I said, I'm not like promoting her or anything. But when I watched this process where she and her brother were allowed to just have the space and the freedom to create, it's because they were not under that pressure to perform anything. It wasn't like, you got to pump out this album at a certain time. They actually had the freedom to create something. And so that's the space that like when your kids are bored, that's that space where they can be producers because they have that space where they're not pressured to do something and they are like their needs are met all as well. Like that's the time in my childhood where I wish I could go back and be like,
I know, right?
Can I have that again, please?
So anyway, I know.
Hand it over. Sure. But that's where I was like, I want to create that space for my kids where there's like, their needs are met. There's no pressure. And I'm not forcing them to like do one thing or another. Then that opens up their creative juices, their possibilities and what they can do for themselves to produce something.
Yeah. I, that's what I'm saying. I intentionally do that. I intentionally leave that space in the calendar so that they can do that. I want that for them because in our culture today, so many people just feel like they have to be entertained all the time.
Yep.
Whether it is with media or just their parents' attention or what, not that we should ignore the kids, but yeah. You know what I'm saying? The kids do not know how.
It's all scheduled out. Yeah.
They have no creativity because everything is all scheduled out and they don't have that time, which is kind of sad. So yeah. Like in our house, we do not do a whole lot of media. I mean, we're not like technophobes or anything, but you know, the computers are a tool. It's not for your entertainment purposes. Although sometimes it is, but
sometimes it's okay. I think you can get a lot of like material, you know, to like model or, you know, learn from if you're watching certain programs, but yeah.
Not even with educational stuff, I'm really careful because then they learn that in education, everything has to be entertaining. And they don't want to think anymore. They don't want to do the hard work of thinking because that's hard.
Yep.
So that's that space there that I try really hard to keep open, and it doesn't always happen, but you know, that's just life. There's always, it's how you deal with all distractions too. So we try to keep our general rhythm and
So my question about that is, you know, I think that parents hear this and they're going, okay, but if they aren't, because we're so conditioned to want to just give our kids a device and say, just leave me alone or something, or like, go be entertained. Right. I think that we get like scared that our kids are going to get into mischief if they are allowed.
I know. And sometimes they do, but sometimes they do anyway with a device.
true.
Right.
So like, how do you deal with that?
Right. So I'm another part of building heroes is I am very intentional in creating the environment. Right. Mm-hmm. So that means I'm going to have rules that I expect them to follow, but they can disagree appropriately. They don't have to always, you know, be little robots, but, uh-huh. So we're going to set up the rules. I also have for that creative time, they know what they can and cannot do. They can't just go, watch all the Netflix they want to. Yeah. Although if they fold their laundry, I let them watch an educational show.
Oh, nice. Not a bad exchange. Okay.
Right. So they could choose that during their time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when we're intentionally creating the environment, I want them to be surrounded with greatness, with ideas of greatness. So, I mean, it's not like this all the time, but, you know, I'm always giving them ideas of greatness that of different ways they could be using their time, helping other people. Not that they are always choosing that. A lot of times they're making crafts or playing with their friends, right?
Yeah.
But it's kind of the whole part of the bigger picture, not just for that time.
Yeah.
So I'm reading good books to them. I'm encouraging them. I'm allowing them to fail and not criticizing them and say, hey, let's just try it again, you know? And that sort of thing too. So yes, they could totally get into trouble, but kids can get in trouble no matter what.
So it's almost like we just need to like redefine what trouble and mischief is. It's like, if they're making a mess, okay, great. Like
we can clean that up. Yeah, I know. And you can also use it as an opportunity to teach obedience. For example, I have one daughter who tended to really like to use the hot glue gun, which was not allowed. But she, and she's like four. And, you know, so she, yes. So she, this girl's the youngest. Now people know who that is. Okay. but if you know her, then you would know. She feels like she's as old as all the rest of the kids.
Yeah.
She watches her people do things and she thinks, oh, I can do that. And then she can. And she can hot glue. But I don't really want her to. So we had to train her to ask for parental permission and supervision to use that. I mean, she's older now, but I still have her ask. So you get opportunities like that too, where you're like, oh, okay. I mean, you could look at it, oh, this kid's a real trouble kid. No, this kid's a real creative kid.
Yeah.
Determined and persistent.
Yeah.
But she does have a struggle with knowing when to obey. And we've worked on that and it's gotten better.
Wow.
Right?
I love that. I love that you reframed the labels that you gave. You know, it's like, I can't stand when these labels like, oh, you're so naughty, or, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. It's just like, can we maybe look at it from a different direction? Like,
oh, I know. That kid's brain is going a million miles an hour. She's just got to try everything. And you know, I just have to go with it. But she's not being naughty. She's the kid who was painting her toenails. I come walking in the bedroom. She's in there painting her toenails and she's not even two. And she's doing it on the carpet and she's doing a good job.
Yeah.
She wasn't even spilling. And I was like, okay, my reaction's gonna matter here.
Well, and I think that our changing our narrative, our personal narrative, what's going on in our heads and the labels that we ascribe to the things they're doing will also change the narrative around like power struggles or kids who are testing the boundaries. Like if we're putting that label on them, or we're saying, oh, they're so rebellious or whatever, like then it looks like they're testing boundaries when really they're just being kids. You know what I mean? It's
right?
Like, change that narrative also of like, no, she wasn't testing any boundaries. She was just like, I'm going to try this thing. you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was saying. When she's painting her toenails, she had just watched her sisters do it. And she's like, oh, I can do that. And she could, you know, but I was like, okay, but we need some rules here. And now we know this. So that's good.
Right? So in a way it is kind of like testing boundaries, establishing
it is,
rules,
it is.
But at the same time, it's not like they're doing it so intentional or, you know, things like that.
To make you mad. I know.
Yeah. They're just being kids that trying to go, you know, I don't know, just figure out how to establish what's appropriate and what's not. And that's a natural part of growing up. So.
Oh, for sure. And I think too, sometimes we get a little frustrated with our kids because we think, I've told you this 1,000 times and, it takes a lot longer than we think to get things, to understand things. Like I still do stupid stuff and I'm an adult.
Yeah. You know? Right. And I don't remember things after somebody's told me repeatedly. So it's like, why do I expect my children to do it? That's, again, that's why we want to work on the habits, right? It's like, doing it as a habit, as routines, it's something that becomes consistent. So then they have, you know, everybody understands what the expectations are. There's nothing you're going to like spring on anybody of like, you know, we're supposed to do this thing. And that's like the first time you brought it up or something. Like,
I know. To them. When like, I get a lot of moms saying to me, why won't my kids just do their chores? And I'm like, well, I mean, do you want to do your chores every single day? No, right? There's some days when you don't want to, you've gotten better at it, but it's taken you this long.
Yep. Right?
So you just kind of, you just have to keep, encouraging them and loving them for longer than you want to.
Well, we can love them for forever, right? But no.
Well, yes, then. Well, that's what I meant. I but you know what I mean. Yeah. I but like, okay, you have to still be calm and nice to them for longer than your emotions are probably going to want to, because it's going to take longer.
Right.
And that's
right.
Part of building the heroes in your home, because you just have to keep remembering they're on this journey. They still need encouragement. They still need to keep going.
Cool. So, awesome, Molly. I love this so much. And I'm so excited. Thank you so much for being on this show and for talking about this stuff. And I'm so excited to, you know, this idea, like we're raising our heroes. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. So where can we find you and learn more about Building Heroes Academy?
So I have a Facebook page of Building Heroes Academy and also a website that's buildingheroesacademy.com. If you're interested in seeing how I do it in an hour a day of teaching the kids, I have a free webinar at the3homeschoolsecrets.com. So you can watch that there. And I think that's my main sources of internetness.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. Thank you so much, Molly. I really enjoyed having you on the show.
All right. Thank you. I enjoyed being here. So I hope you all go build heroes.
Yep. Go build heroes. See you guys. Thanks, Molly.
Yeah. Bye.